Welcome to the Author Factor Podcast, where we break down exactly how smart business owners and corporate leaders leverage the powerful advantage of being a published book author. I'm your host, Mike Capuzzi, and you're in the right place if you want profitable nonfiction book writing tips. Every so often, I meet a young business owner who inspires me and makes me go, wow. My guest on today's show is one such young entrepreneur. Andrew Hibbard is a U.S. Air Force veteran, author, and Medicare expert located in Western New York. I had the opportunity to work with Andrew on his first book, and since then, I've been constantly amazed at his dedication to mastering marketing and improving the lives of others in his community. Andrew, welcome to the show.
Hey, Mike. Thanks for having me.
I just love your dedication to mastering the craft of marketing in your business, helping others. So it does really fuel me. So thank you for that.
Yeah, I definitely have to tip my hat as well to you. It's been a interesting, challenging, but also fun, like you mentioned, journey into studying marketing kind of as an art and a science. You know, flipping the switch in my mind, you know, I'm sure, you know, our shared mentor, Dan Kennedy, kind of sharing that you're not really the person doing the thing, you're marketing of the thing. So, you know, as I've kind of dove into that, it really opened up a lot of doors.
Well, you've definitely dove into it. And what's going to be great about today's episode is that you are a Main Street business owner, almost literally. Are you literally
Main Street? I'm on Main Street.
Yes, you are literally a Main Street business owner in Western New York. So I'm not going to steal your thunder. I'm going to ask you to share all that. But I think, you know, what you're going to bring to today's episode is this grounded in reality of that toes to toes, nose to nose sort of interaction with your customers, your prospects. So why don't you share a little bit about, you know, what you've done in the past, where you are today, and what you're doing today to serve your clients?
Yeah, sure. Thanks. I've had a very interesting career path, which actually a lot of our prospects appreciate the story when they're in the office. So my formal education is actually a master's in education, which I never ended up using, ended up enlisting in the Air Force, did 10 years there. Along the way, kind of near the tail end, my grandma had been diagnosed with lung cancer. My mom was having a challenge figuring out how to get a lot of that treatment cost paid for. So I just happened to have some leave with the military and tried to help out and just learn a little bit about kind of the Medicare world and how different plans work and why a lot of our local options weren't really covering much of anything. And then got introduced to someone that said, you know, you can make money talking to people about this Medicare stuff. And that was kind of news to me. And I kind of went through that licensing process as just like a side thing I was going to do to help friends of the family or people through our church group if and when questions came up. And a lot of that cancer planning, the reactive kind of way of getting things paid for after the fact, after the kind of catastrophic thing occurred, got a lot of traction. We had a little bit of local news press. This is like 2016, maybe. And I just kind of fell in this Medicare thing. And then, you know, along the way, the kind of writing was on the wall with the military that there was a limitation there with kind of income potential, and maybe working for myself might be a better option for just time and income flexibility and things. And I felt like I was having maybe more of an immediate impact. Obviously the military is of service, but it's kind of like the job I was in, you didn't really see the impact you were having because it's all like overseas and things. So kind of changing my focus on impacting the local community rather than the country's kind of allowed me to sleep a little better at night, I guess.
So I want to shift gears and talk about your author journey. But before we do, you were just sharing with me before we hit record, how many episodes of my podcast have you listened to?
I think I just hit into 170-ish. Yeah, I basically listen to one on the way into work and one on the way home from work. I mean, because my drive's just about 30 minutes, so it's perfect to hit one on the way in and one on the way out.
Which is pretty cool, because we're over 200 episodes recorded. We haven't shared 200 episodes yet, but first of all, I appreciate that. But again, I think it's testimony, Andrew, to your seriousness of mastering the craft of marketing. And I know I'm just one of the folks that you follow and read about and study from, but I think it's kind of cool. And you were listening way back before it was the Author Factor and it was the Main Street Author podcast. Yep. And truly, you are the epitome of a Main Street author. So I want to talk about that a little bit more, because your current book, Starting Medicare Smartly, is not your first book. But before we talk about that, even that journey, why did you decide to even invest the time and energy to even write a book? Because there's not too many Medicare-focused business owners that are writing books about Medicare.
Right. That's why I did it. yeah. So one of the principles, I'd say, that Dan Kennedy had shared was kind of this authority, credibility, expertise idea. And he had always talked about either chiropractors or dentists. And this would be probably a pertinent point to anyone listening, is I would encourage people that whatever industry you're in, stop caring about what other your competition is doing and just start learning about anything else under the sun. So like most of our marketing that we do now has nothing to do with Medicare. And I see what chiropractors are doing, dentists are doing. There's lawn care businesses that I kind of model some stuff after. And it's nice to be able to model what's working in other industries and then just sit there and strategically think about how could I use that in my industry that nobody else is doing. So to your point, writing a book, most people in my industry, similar to like financial advisors, it's all about the alphabet soup after your name. How many other credentials can you get? How many courses, certifications? And I don't really think that a prospect who's, I'm confused about Medicare, I'm about to be 65, I need help. And if they're doing their own search online and it's Susie Smith, ABC123, and you know, Billy Joe, whatever, with a different credential, I don't think they're smart enough to understand the differentiation of how each credential may help them. And if I come up as an option of offering available help, and I'm just saying, I'm Andrew, I'm the guy down the street, I probably helped somebody you already know, and if you'd like a free copy of my book, you know, I'll be happy to send one for you for free, and here's what it'll address on the inside. I mean, that's what they want. So, you know, the idea of writing the book really has set us apart as the local expert. I mean, you talk about the 5 mile famous. You know, so I'm really only focused on 4 different zip codes that are within literally, I mean, it's like a little over 5 miles, like 5.2, if I remember the Google map. Like the surrounding area of my literal brick and mortar store where people walk in. You know, and again, I'm attracting a certain type of person. I don't want everyone under the sun. I don't really want the tire kickers. I mean, we're solving a very specific problem. And the cover of the book, the pre-heading, the subheading, all the contents in the book address that particular problem. So, I mean, you know, the clearer we've been able to come on our own identity and the own problem we want to have or solve, the clearer our message has been able to be for marketing. So that's been really helpful. And a lot of your worksheets for that Shook outline with the front matter, middle matter, and all that, very helpful for
doing that. I was just about to say, Andrew, I mean, you and I spent, if I were to actually look at the time invested, I'm sure it's in the hours, plural, of just focusing. I remember distinctly, you know, for the first book, and then as you're evolving to the updated version, how much time you spent really thinking about your ideal reader, who you wanted to serve, how you wanted to serve them. And, you know, I think it's paid off for you in a lot of different ways, just even beyond the book. I want to just touch briefly, because I want to spend more time on how you're using the books in your business.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, it's awesome. I love it. I mean, it's a whole new game. you know, chess match of how to use the book. I'd say the first thing, again, I mean, being a Main Street author, I'm not selling stuff worldwide. I'm not even selling stuff one county over. I don't even really actually sell the book. I mean, we were just going to publish it, you know, get author copies through you, and your suggestion of maybe putting it on Amazon kind of got me thinking, just from a, I wonder if my marketing understanding could game the Amazon system to try to achieve bestseller status, which you ended up doing. So that was a fun little thing. So if you already have a list, you know, or a clientele, and you want to, you know, offer it as like a pre-launch, I mean, we sold over 1,000 copies in 2 hours when That's it was awesome. Live. And That's then, awesome. I mean, but then after the weekend, you know, it went back down in
the ranking. Set back in.
But yeah, whatever. That's fine. I don't care. I still get to, you know, I still get to tell my members, hey, thanks for making it happen. But how we're using it. Yeah. I mean, I don't think it needs to be as complicated maybe, or as sophisticated as people may think. I'm looking at my phone here because I made a couple notes. So ways we use the book. So the first thing we did, just kind of like piggyback on things in the area that people were already tuned into, is we hooked up with a local charity. So I'm a veteran. We have a charity here, Western New York Heroes. So we basically tied things in with them. I wrote a little chapter at the end of the book, which I added that to the book after the launch. So it was easy to kind of update things and just kind of put a little fold over on the front cover. So that's been good, because again, it kind of moves people where, you know, there's some goodwill reciprocity tied into the book. So every book that, and again, I'm giving the book out literally for free. It's not even a free plus shipping thing. I mean, people can buy it on Amazon if they happen to come across it, but that's not really how I'm using it. So I know my marketing math, where I'm willing to donate, you know, a good chunk of money per copy of the book that I send out. So in the little package we send out when people order a book, I put a little thank you card in there from Western New York Heroes that says X amount was donated on your behalf. Again, just making people feel good about what they're doing, and a little bit of, this guy's really nice, I should call him. So yeah, I mean, one of the big things we're doing, I guess I'll have a couple categories here. So inner office, because again, I have a brick and mortar. Everything we have in our office is very structured and purposeful, and the choreography of the selling environment. So we fortunately have a little vestibule here between the exterior door and our interior door, which we keep locked strategically, so people knock and then they got to stand out there and look at whatever I have on the wall. So we have a giant, you know, framed, I think it's, what is it, 20 by 24, 3D kind of nice, attractive image of the book, Amazon bestseller we have on there with X amount of copies sold to date kind of thing, which we kind of update timely. So that's good. Again, just kind of reinforcing, I'm in a good spot. This guy's an expert. He's the guy I want to be talking to. We have kind of parasite marketing idea, where I've always had a survey in the office that I ask our prospects to fill out, just to kind of get a feel for where their head's at. And I added on there that not only is Medicare something you should be thinking about pre-65 and getting ready to retire, but also your financial security and funeral planning, which is not anything I do, but it was a question to ask and allow them to say, are you working with anyone? And if you could recommend that person to somebody else with this question, who would you recommend? So everyone's writing down their financial advisor and, you know, their CPA or whatever else. So I just, when those people leave at the end of the day, I call those people and say, hey, I just left a meeting with your client, Susie. She had really great things to say. My guess is you have other clients coming up on 65. This is what I do. I feel like maybe my information might be valuable. Would you be okay if I send you a copy of my book, and it might introduce you to what we do, and maybe you feel like it would be helpful for your clients to know? And of course, everyone's like, you have a book? Wow, yeah, send me one. This would be great. My clients always ask me about this, and I just tell them I don't do it. So figure it out. So, I mean, we have, I think, 13 now.
Wow.
I know you call them joint venture, but
strategic,
I feel like...
Strategic partners, I call them.
Yeah, well, right. So some people call them JV partners, but I feel like there's got to be a give and a take. Like, right, they're making money, I'm making money. They just know the... And that was a real hurdle I had of, why am I going to ask these people to put my stuff in their office when I'm not going to recommend them for financials because everyone I'm working with already has a guy? So I always felt like it was very one-sided. And the third person I talked to, I actually brought up and said, you know, I'm happy that my information is relevant to you, but I feel like I don't know how to repay you for trusting me to serve your clients. And they said, you're doing us the favor because it's a need our clients have. And now we can trust that needs being taken care of, kind of take the credit for introducing them to you, but we don't have to do any of the work. And I hadn't really thought about it like that. And once they told me that, I went back and recalled everyone else that I kind of got cold feet on. And now it's working really good. So yeah, basically once a month, I just follow up with people and just make sure if they need a restock or whatever. And to your point with the little Shook stand, I have a local print guy. So we just made it's about the same width of the Shook. So 5 1/4 or something. But it's about 16 inches tall. So it stands out above the Shook, you know, Red Arrow, free book. And then if the last book is taken, there's an image of the book that says, if more copies are needed, contact the author with my stuff. So that's been good at the kind of strategic partners or so. On our website, first thing, we put a banner, get a free copy of our best-selling book, click here, go get it. Kind of moves them to that order funnel. Interoffic graphics I talked about. Company literature is another one. So I've just impregnated the free book offer in anything that we give anyone for any reason. PDF reports that people can download off our website. There's always something at the back end that says, want more information? Get a free copy of my book. We have some workbooks that we hand out or we offer to people if they've come in. So if they've come in a different way, like they maybe are just referred, they didn't go through kind of the book funnel, I actually created a little overlap. It's about 4 inches tall and it goes around the workbook and it says tear and share. And it has a picture of the book and says, know someone who's turning 65 in the next 6 to 12 months, give this to them. And it walks them through where to go for the book funnel.
So you haven't really done too much is what you're saying.
No, not much at all.
But I will tell you, you are the first guest slash client who's used the word impregnated when it comes to book marketing. So congratulations.
Okay, well, you know, well, I just
having a newborn, maybe, right? Having a
relatively young. I was going to say, I'm probably thinking about it. Yeah. Last thing is we started back doing one-to-many seminars in person. There's local restaurant here that my wife and I frequent, farm to table, local farm. So we like supporting them, but they moved locations and actually built a big room for seminars. So we're doing a quarterly seminar with that.
Nice.
And then it happens to be one of my clients is an advertising person from one of the local papers. So we've been running a quarter page ad about the upcoming seminar dates. And by attending, you'll get a free copy of the book. It's kind of a premium for coming in. My industry has some limitations on what else I can offer. I'm trying to play in the gray area with offering like a free buffet, but not really a sit down meal, just another incentive to come in. But the premium's good. I mean, I will say though that, and I know this is a reoccurring theme with you to your guests, is kind of like, nobody really wants to give out their book and not have people read it. But like, and I may be a good example of like, I'm willing to invest in buying a book and do the studying because I want to learn marketing, or I got back pain and it's affecting my golf swing. So I'm willing to read it to solve the problem. I feel like Medicare, not to be that my business is different, but I feel like the only feedback I've ever gotten is I don't want to do this myself. I just want it done for me. So I don't actually think a lot of people are reading my book cover to cover, which again, maybe this is a lesson in itself, is the multiple offers throughout the book, inside cover, backside cover. And I basically, at the end of every chapter, have some sort of call to action, which, you know, I kind of identified kind of like three headspaces that people may be at. The kind of like, they got the book and they're rejoicing I'm offering, you know, a solution that they can come in and actually have me do everything for them other than them telling me their situation. So like rejoicing, reluctant, resistant. The reluctant people is they know they need the problem solved. They just don't know I'm the guy to do it. And the resistant one is like, you know, they're still kind of don't trust me yet, even though my personality is trying to come across in the book. So I do have like the go get more information on this website. You can download some PDFs and checklists and cheat sheets and stuff for like the person who really just isn't ready to come in yet or kind of take the real next step that I want them to take. Multiple offers, definitely.
As we get ready to wrap up here, Andrew, I'd love to hear, again, because you bring such a unique perspective, you know, because you're not out there on stages and keynoting and, you know, big YouTube channel and all that. You're just, again, working in your community. What has it meant for you, now that you've published a couple books, you've been part of a couple books, what has it meant to you, for you to be a published book author?
Well, I mean, I think from early on when I jumped into this and kind of convinced my wife to do our own thing and not have a big company backing us, I think I've always kind of had a chip on my shoulder, prove myself to the world, just probably due to my upbringing. And I've always subscribed to the whole, if you tell people what you want them to think about you, that's what they'll think about you. And I've always tried to be that expert in the community, but I feel like I never really had the proof to prove it. And being a book author is a tangible manifestation of that. So it's a product I can physically give people where they're a little more bought in than just me saying something and they have to believe it or not. Also, I feel like, and maybe this is more of an intangible thing, is just like confidence in myself to think bigger. Cause I'm like, all right, well, I have a book. Most people don't have a book. So what else can I do that most people don't do and try to like keep leveraging things? I'm actually, not that you're asking, but, I mean, I do have to give credit where credit's due. So, I mean, I had probably 24 other names for this book. And you had mentioned Smart Start. And I've gone down the rabbit hole over the last year from that conversation and developed the Smart Start program, which is now going through trademarking things, starting Medicare Smartly, which was kind of the book title. And it's really resonated with people.
Am I getting any royalties on that?
Yeah, I'll pay you. No problem. Your check's in the mail. But I'm also writing another book that'll kind of be a companion to this one, Shopping Medicare Smartly, which will kind of be the other end of the spectrum where people, you know, may need to figure out different money-saving ways or ways to compare plans and things like that. Again, just another layer of that expert authority, credibility, you know, perception, kind of a promotion of oneself. So, yeah, I mean, it feels good. People take notice of what you're doing. I feel like in a different way than if you're just like, I'm a successful business owner, but you know, this is, I don't know, stands out for sure.
Andrew, if somebody is interested in learning more about you, Medicare, maybe they sell Medicare and they want some help doing with all the marketing, like all the stuff you've done, where's the best way folks can connect with you?
My email is email me directly. It's andrew@wnymedicare.org. If you're in the Medicare field and you want to just roundtable ideas and we can share what's working or things like that, you can check out my website. There's a bunch of stuff on there, and that's wnymedicare.org. I am not on social media personally because I got better things to do. And even our business just has very limited information on social media stuff.
We'll include your email and your website there. But listen, Andrew, it's always good to see you. I appreciate, yeah, you know, again, your enthusiasm, your mastery of the craft of marketing and service. So thank you very much.
Yes, sir. We'll talk soon.
Well, that wraps up another episode of the Author Factor podcast. If you like what you heard, please rate and review us on Apple iTunes. Subscribe, tell a friend, and go grab the notes and extras at theauthorfactor.com. And to learn more about my unique short book publishing services, please check out bitesizebooks.com. See you next time.